Blog Talk Radio.
Success requires knowledge, endurance, and determination. The race is not for the swift, but for those who will endure. Welcome to the Kickstart to Your Many Achievements. This is the Coaching for Success Show with the Chief Visionary, Natasha Davis. What's your question?
Hey, 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 family. It's your Chief Visionary, Natasha Davis, right here on Coaching for Success. And I am super excited to be sharing another phenomenal morning with you where we're talking about those valuable business tips, trends, and techniques in order to be extremely successful. You know, we are kickstarting your entire day and we're kickstarting your week and doing a lot of great things. And, you know, we're very excited to do that for you. You know, one of the things that I sometimes don't get a chance to do is just have a little conversation with you guys, mano y mano, woman to woman, man to man, entrepreneur to entrepreneur. So that's what we're going to do today. I'm just going to share some real great, interesting, valuable business survival tips, things that actually work. A lot of times we get into this role of doing business and we forget to kind of pay attention to certain things. So I'm going to pull out some key tips and we're going to talk about some of the things that have been going on in business and also what are those some of those survival tips that we should be applying. All right, guys, we got to say a great big thank you to our promotions and marketing partner, 106 Live Radio. If you have not had the opportunity to log on to 106liveradio.com, take some time to do that now. You are missing out on some really great, great things. 106liveradio.com has all day, all week long, all year long, really great programs and radio shows as well as information and music that you can listen to. So take some time to do that. And also want to make sure you know that you can stay connected to yours truly, your Chief Visionary, Natasha Davis, on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, LinkedIn, YouTube, all those really good things. If you log on to visionarypeoplearise.com, you'll have the opportunity to connect with us. But, of course, you can definitely find me on all of them. Natasha Davis, Visionary on Facebook, Natasha VP CEO on Twitter and Tumblr, as well as the others are visionary people. So we're really excited about that. All right, so today let's jump right into it. We're going to talk about some really cool things about business survival tips and how to really maneuver the system and have a great time while still doing business. And oftentimes what I find is that when you're in the trenches and you are neck deep in business, sometimes we start to slip and we lose a focus on certain areas and certain things. But I'm going to kick it off with the number one issue, concern, or the number one focus for any business, regardless of the size or the length of time you've been in business. Let's talk about that cash flow, that money, that dollar bills, y'all. That's what we're talking about. How do you keep that cash flow growing and going and things of that nature? So business survival really is focused around cash flow. Cash flow is your one of your most important assets in business, right next to customers. And we've talked about this before. You guys have been following me long enough. You would have heard, as I always say, your business is in existence because of your customers. So if you don't have any customers and you're not making any money, then you have a hobby. And so most people do not go into business to be a hobby. You go into business to actually be a business and make revenue and make enough money to take care of yourself, right? So customers as well as cash flow is some of the most important assets to your business. Actually, let's remove customers and say people. People are some of the most important assets to your business. That's number one. Number two, you got to have that cash flow. So when we're thinking about cash flow, you want to start reviewing the wheres and the hows you can cut unnecessary or insignificant expenses. You know, as we're moving and we're going in business, a lot of times we end up starting to spend money and pay for things that we really probably need to scale back on, especially when there's a cash flow situation. So it's almost like take a step back, and one of the days you just get a pen and paper. I like to get straight down to it, pen and paper, and start outlining what is it that you're paying for. Another thing I like to do sometimes, if you want, you can put up a spreadsheet, and then you can have your sum total at the bottom of it. So every time you're plugging in all of your expenses, you're looking at the total, and it's tallying up. And one of the things I'll tell you, when you start to see that number creep up and creep up and creep up, you start paying a little bit more attention to what you're spending. Another great thing is every money that comes in, you do not take a check and cash it as a business, right? Large companies don't do this. Large, significant companies do not do this. Even very successful small businesses, they don't do these things. You know, micro entrepreneurs and independent entrepreneurs have a bad habit of doing these things. You don't get paid for whatever product or service that you've initiated. You get the check, you cash it, and you start doling out money and spending money, or someone pays you cash. Because as a micro business or a small business, there is a tendency to get a cash exchange. Somebody will pay cash for your product or service. Make it your habit, you know, good habits, you know, make it your habit to put that money in the bank. When you put that money in the bank, it will then hit your banking system. It will hit your budgeting system, your accounting system. And then you can actually see where did you allocate money to. So when we can't see it and we can't track it, we don't know what we're doing. So that's the really top thing right here, is be aware of what you're spending, where you're spending it, and how you're spending it. So look at, what are we paying for? You know, if you're paying for certain little amenities, evaluate the significance of that amenity, that feature, that system, or that tool, and are you actually using it? If you're not using it, you need to look at really cutting it down when you have a cash flow problem. And sometimes you have to do this regardless if you have a cash flow problem or not. Start looking at, I'm not spending money in places I don't need to be spending it. Am I being frivolous with this money and not paying attention to it? So be real careful. The next thing you want to do when you have a cash flow problem is you want to shift gears and you want to start looking at, how do we bring more revenue to the company? And this sounds easy, and in most cases, it kind of sort of is. You need to bring more revenue into the company. So what is it that you need to do then? You need more customers. How do you get more customers? You go out and you network and you market and you advertise and you put yourself out there. You ask for more referrals. You go into a heavy customer acquisition campaign. And this cannot be like a one-week thing. When you go into a heavy customer acquisition campaign, your plan and your goal really is to acquire customers for the current time, as well as acquire customers that will be long-term, or to reinvigorate old customers so that you have them for months down. If you go into a customer acquisition campaign, you should be doing it for no less than 3 months. Everyone should be all hands on deck. We are focused on getting more customers. Here's what we're doing. Get very focused and get very clear. Because you have to bring more revenue into the company in order to do the things you need to do. So when you have a cash flow problem and you need customers, this is not the time to fold. This is not the time to pout. This is not the time to be like, oh, my God, this is horrible. This is the time to get very focused and start looking at a heavy customer acquisition campaign so that you can pull more revenue in. This may not necessarily be this is not the time where you say, well, okay, I'm just going to jump my rate. I'm going to increase the amount of my service or product. But if you don't have any customers, who are you increasing the rates on? The air, right? So we have to think about that. You want to say, okay, am I in demand? When you're not in demand, you cannot make demand. Now, if you are in demand and you're like, okay, we need to increase our revenue flow, we need to increase our profit margin because we're either expanding or we're growing or whatever, sure, you can go through a price increase strategy, and there's a way to do that, a very effective way to do that. But you don't go haul off increase in prices when you don't have any customers, because at the time, you don't have anyone buying your stuff anyway, so now you have to evaluate, is my product or service valuable, and have I captured the value? And if I've not captured the value, which means no one's buying it, how do I then convert and capture that value? Okay, it's your chief visionary, Natasha Davis, right here on Coaching for Success. We're talking about the business survival tips today on how, this is some fun stuff. I like talking about this because a lot of times something will be said that will trigger in your mind. You're like, ah, I didn't even think about that. Or, we haven't been doing that. So I pray that all of this information will be extremely helpful to you. All right, so let's move on. So we've gotten that covered. We're talking about cash flow. Really, there's only really two ways to fix that. You know, cut your expenses, increase your revenue. That is really it. Now it's a matter of identifying and putting the steps in place to accomplish that goal. All right, heavy customer acquisition, cut down those costs and expenses, really evaluate what you're spending your money on, and keep going and going for your next customer, right? Cash and people, your most valuable asset. All right, another business survival tip. Let's talk about what happens when you start losing posture and you start losing focus. And as you're evolving and progressing in business, this is not uncommon. It's not uncommon to start losing footing, losing posture. Sometimes you can lose your competitive edge. You can start to lose focus because you then start adopting things that you probably shouldn't really be adopting. This is where people start taking on, it's almost like a ship's thing is taking on water and you're trying to dump the water with a bucket or a cup and you're in the middle of the ocean. So if you can visualize that with me, you know, you got this sinking ship and there's water getting on board and you're thinking you're going to help by taking a cup or a bucket and you're throwing water right back over the edge, it's coming right back in. So this is where you start, this is the same thing that happens when companies and small businesses start to lose their posture, their competitive edge, and they lose their focus. And one thing I will say, this not only happens in the small business sector, this also happens in corporations. We've seen big companies shut down many times, big, huge companies that have been around for a very, very long time. We've seen these companies shut down. So we can't think that this only happens in the small business arena because it doesn't. It happens in business, period. So one of the things you start paying attention to, every 6 months to every year, your company should be having almost like a, you know, let's a transparency meeting. Let's do a milestone check. Let's temperature gauge and see how are we doing? Are we on track? Are we staying focused? Have we been able to communicate our value and things of that nature? So those are the things that we should be checking on, to be perfectly honest. We should be looking to see, have we lost focus? And that's a lot of things we should look at. Have we lost focus? You know, let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to the reason why we actually started business. How about we go back to the place where we were when we actually got into business and said, here's what I want to create. Here's the problems that we want to solve, the people that we want to serve and things of that nature. How about we jump into that? So you want to look into when you start realizing I'm losing posture, I'm losing footing or anything like that. One of the things you want to pay attention to is start looking back into we need to return back to our roots. And are we very clear and very focused on what we're doing? Can we very clearly communicate what it is that we do? And everybody that's involved, can they do the same thing? Now, here's the other test. The people that we serve and the people we're marketing to, can they clearly communicate what you do as well? And that's the question that we have to start asking ourselves when you're doing that, you know, every 6 months, or annual checkpoints. You know, you checkpoint on the survival rate and the stability of your company. Where are we? Are we still on track? Do we still have competitive edge? Are we still postured up? And do people know what we do? But better yet, do we know what we do? Another thing you want to look at when you're talking about posture and if you're losing your footing, you know, beef up on technology usage so you can streamline what you're doing. Sometimes we start adding a process and adding a procedure and adding a process, adding a procedure, adding. And by the time we keep adding, we're adding so many things and nothing is streamlined. We're like 15 different steps to accomplish one goal. Streamline some things, shave down the amount of steps, and get straight to the point. You know, you want to shave it down in the shortest, most direct route to accomplish the goal. If your customer has to go through 15 different steps to get to your service or to complete the process or to communicate with you, you know, you're going to start losing market share. You're going to start losing people. Your company's going to get wobbly because when you have that many steps in place, things will fall through the cracks. Inevitably, it's going to fall through the cracks. So you want to look at the posture that you guys have, returning back to your roots, making sure that there's clarity. Everybody understands what's going on, your customers, your potential customers, as well as the team and yourself as the owner. And next thing you want to do is beef up on technology and use it for the purpose of streamlining. Because we are in this particular time now where technology has become a friend of ours, it can be your friend or your enemy depending on what you're doing. You want to be able to say, hey, you know what, there is technology out there that we can actually use. There's technology out there that we can use to help us in our ventures, in our endeavors, and to make our day much easier, to make the communication between our team much easier and things like that. So use technology for streamlining, all right? All right, here's another quick business survival tip. This has been the Achilles heel for a lot of companies and small businesses, startups, this really has been the Achilles heel. And I'm going to tell you right now what it is. You know what it is? Teams. Having a reliable team. And I know, you know, large companies have this problem too, but unfortunately, they can cushion, you know, they can cushion the blow because you have a team of 100 or 200. And if you lose one, you know, somebody else can pick up the slack. But when you're working with a micro business and they only have 3 or 4 or 5 people doing the work, you lose one, that is a huge impact, okay? So when you're thinking about a team, you want to build a strong team, you want to build a capable team, you want a qualified team, and you want a loyal team. Now write that down. You want a strong team, a capable team, a qualified team, and a loyal team. Here's the thing that people think they want to do. They're trying to go for whether the most available, the cheapest, my cousin, my uncle, whatever. Yes, in certain instances when you're a startup company, you may not have all of the money that you need to pay someone a full-time salary. Granted, that is true. However, there are people out there that are passionate enough about your mission. If you can communicate it well, if you can communicate your vision well, and you can let people know, I am on a mission, I'm on a movement, I'm making things happen, and I need help, and I need strong people to help me get it done, because I don't care who you are, you cannot build a successful, thriving business alone. You must have backup, you must have support, because you need people behind you to get it done. You cannot do it alone. So when you're building a team, first thing to look for are people that will be loyal and committed to the mission and the vision. Can they see your vision? Do they understand where you're going? And are they willing to go with you? And if they're willing to go with you, you've identified that they're loyal. Okay, that's not the end goal here. Just because they want to help doesn't mean anything. You want to check, are they qualified? What are their capabilities? Here's the role that I need filled. And I was talking about this. I had the pleasure of being interviewed on BizLinks TV yesterday, and this is one of the things we talked about. You know, when you start a company, you have a company, you should have job descriptions readily available. Job descriptions of here's what the title is, here's the role they'll facilitate, here are the things that need to get done. And when somebody comes to you and they says, okay, hey, I'm available, how can I help? You hand them a job description, you give them the tools they need, they can execute it. The worst thing that can happen is that someone says, how can I help? Or you're ready to, you know, I need more people. And someone says, well, what type of people do you need? And you cannot answer the question, or you get all hands on deck and you do not know how to put those hands to work. People will leave. People will leave you. If you bring them in and you don't give them something to do and they cannot help you, or they feel like they're not helping you, it's wasting their time, they will leave. Because there are some people that will work without pay for a short period of time. You just have to be able to use them accordingly. So you're looking for those that are loyal to the mission and the vision first. Then you need to evaluate the capability of them and what needs can they fulfill, and check if they're qualified to fill that role. And then you need to build a strong team. You want a team that is cohesive. You want a team that understands how to communicate. And here's where we are in this particular day and age. You need a team that is transparent. You need a company that's transparent. The people are not doing this hide and seek, and I don't need to know everything deal. People are looking for a very transparent company to work with. Not only that, customers are looking for transparent companies as well. So that's something you want to be aware of. I'm not saying to divulge all your intellectual property and have people all in your private business. And when you're having your private team meetings and your growth strategies, you're putting on a webcast and you're revealing it to the world. That's not what I'm talking about. And in business, you understand what I say when I say be transparent and be communicative. You have to let people know what's going on, where you're going, how you're going to get there. And if you have a bit of a little situation, okay, you want to communicate that to your team. They should not be the last to know. So another key point when you have building a team that's strong, that's capable, that's qualified, and that's loyal, and a team of communication, the next thing you want to do is don't screw with them, okay? Don't aggravate them and irritate them and make them think that I'm just going to keep working and working and you're not giving me anything. Here's one thing you don't do. Don't have these excessively long corporatized weekly meetings that people used to do back in the 1980s and the 90s. Okay, stop doing that. People don't want to sit down. People have talents and gifts, and they're ready to throw them in into the fire and get it done. So don't tie up your time having these routine weekly meetings that come and nothing comes out of it. People are sick and tired of these meetings that and nothing happens. If you're going to have a meeting with purpose. Now, here is the thing that you should be doing. You should be providing quick, short education points, and you should also be welcoming feedback. So if you're going to have a meeting, you should have like maybe a monthly meeting more about, or a checkpoint meeting if you're going to do one weekly. Hey, let's get on the telephone. Let's have a quick 10-minute, hey, just checking in for the beginning of the week. Here's where we are. Here's where we need to be. Here's what we're lacking. Here's what we're focusing on. Anyone has any questions or concerns? Is anyone unclear? All right, we're all good. Good. Let's go get it. Let's make it happen. Let's do what we do best. Let's serve the world. And then you turn them loose to go do what they need to do. And if, as a CEO, you and if you're HR, CEO, or whatever, trainer, whatever, you leave yourself available for those that can come in and, you know, say, hey, I have a quick question or whatever. But don't tie up the time with these routine meetings, because people desensitize themselves to these meetings. It's no longer valid. And now what you then do is you replace that with weekly education points. Send out quick articles that your team can read. Read the article that's pertinent to keep people informed. So you can read an article. You can also say, you know, solicit feedback on certain things and processes. So that's how you want to build a strong team, and you want to do a lot of recognition. Highlight the people that are, whatever they've done, not to ostracize others, but pick once a week or once a month to highlight someone for what they've done. And it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing they've done. It can be, hey, you know what? I appreciate so-and-so. They're here every morning at 7 a.m. The doors are open. Coffee's ready. We appreciate you. We, you know, whatever. Go after it that way. But replace those weekly routine meetings with more education key points, and also welcome in the feedback. If you're going to have a meeting with purpose and intention, have an agenda, stick to it, and let it roll. Another thing is, again, like I said, use that technology to streamline. You can have telemeetings, web conferences, WebExes, do what you need to do, get the point across, and then free up your people so they can go get some work done and make that money, all right? All right, another business survival tip for you. Invoke the no complaining environment and policy. You do not want a team of complaining people, and you as an owner, you don't want to be a complainer. You need no complaining. There's no room for excuses here. We don't have a place for it because we're busy making things happen. So we can't be making things happen, and we're making excuses and we're complaining. So there's no complaining. There's a no complaining policy. That should be in your new employee's manual, your operating manual. This is what we do. We don't complain. We help people. We are problem solvers and solution providers. So if there's a problem, solve it. And if you need, if there's a way to be a solution to something, be a solution provider. But you cannot be an addition to the problem, and you can't be a complainer. When that happens, it's time for that person to go. That's it. I can't say that any better. So your goal is to invoke the no complaining policy. Somebody, even if they're complaining about maybe someone they're working with, okay, you've made your point. Let's focus on the solution. How do we solve it? Is it education? Does the person need more resources? You know, what does the person need? Is the person having a bad day? Do we need to, you know, take a quick break and you know, huddle as a team and have a couple laughs or a chuckle? Is everyone stressed? What's happening? So be more of a problem solver and a solution provider. That's the environment that you want to invoke in your team. If you invoke that within the office, when you go out and you're working with clients, that is the same atmosphere that will be with your clients as well. And you want to communicate that. We are problem solvers and solution providers. If you're going to do a bunch of complaining, we can't do anything with you. And that's just the environment, the atmosphere you want to create, all right? All right, here's another great business survival tip for you. A lot of people just have for some reason they don't do this, and I don't understand why. And you know, I have to be honest, I used to be the same, and I would forget to do this very important thing. Here it is. Are you ready? Celebrate the victories. Celebrate those wins. Celebrate the success, regardless of the size, big, medium, or small. Does not matter. Celebrate the win. You made it through a week without losing a customer. My God, celebrate it. You know what I'm saying? If you made it through, if you had to give a refund to a client, but you didn't completely destroy the relationship, celebrate the victory in that I didn't completely damage your, you know, do something, but you need to find a way to celebrate the victory, celebrate the wins, and celebrate the success regardless of the size of it. Because when you do that, it wards off disappointment, and it wards off being, you know, completely burnt out. If you're working, going, and you never take a chance to sit down and say, you know what, we're pretty darn good. You know, like high five, we've done some really great things. Or, you know, we submitted that bid. And whether you won it or not, it doesn't matter. You got into the pool. You got into the ring. Celebrate the victory. Celebrate the win. Of course, when you land a client that you've been going after, of course, you're naturally going to be like, woohoo, high five. You know, we're excited. Have a big win. Celebrate your team, celebrate yourself, celebrate the company, celebrate every little milestone, and try not to get so bogged down into work, and pursue, that you forget to celebrate the win, because I'm telling you, it will burn you out if you never get to step back, take a breath, and say, huh, we did it. You know, we did some good things this week, or we did some good things this month, or we accomplished a goal this quarter, whichever it is. You need to ward off that fatigue, ward off the incidents of being burnt out, the disappointment, the discouragement. Because when you're in business, you will go through those things where you're going after things and you're not going to always get what you want. You're not going to always be the winning person on it. So you have to be very careful that you don't get so bogged down. And then you get tired. You're like, you know what? You begin to feel like, no matter what I do, I can't get above water. No matter how hard we work, we are not getting above water. And if you take a minute just to evaluate the things you've done, you'll be able to see that's not true. It's not true. So take that time, celebrate the wins and the victories, celebrate the success of every little thing. I don't care if it's the smallest thing to the largest thing, but take a moment and do that. You'll see how wonderful life can really be. All right, and I'll give you one more very phenomenal business survival tip. Oh, your fortune is in your follow-up. You guys, I don't care how busy you get, you have to follow up with people. If you told someone, I'm going to call you back, call them back. If you said, I'm going to send you an email, send the email. If someone calls and leaves you a message, return the message. If you need to follow up on someone that says, I'll think about it, follow up with them. Your fortune is in your follow-up, because a lot of times you are more eager to serve them than they are to pay you. That's how it works, okay? No one's eager to pay anyone. We're eager to be provided with service, and we're eager to provide service, right? So your fortune is in your follow-up. Okay? All right, it's your chief visionary, Natasha Davis, right here on Coaching for Success. I'm so excited that I had the opportunity to just share some golden nuggets with you, talking about those business survival tips, going over the different issues that we all have in business, and being able to manage them as effectively as possible with a smile. Remember to keep a wealthy mindset, and then you'll have wealthy action. And one thing I'll just remind you is, don't be so acquainted with the weaknesses that are around you that you forget your strengths. Focus on your strengths and strengthen your weaknesses, but don't ever get too acquainted with your weaknesses that you forget your strengths, because you are phenomenal. You're doing great and mighty things. All right, listen, be productive, be progressive, and without any hesitation, I beg of you to be 100% successful. Don't forget to tell other people about Coaching for Success. We're here every Friday having a great time sharing those tips, trends, and techniques in business. And all I want to say to you is, don't forget to follow us also on social media, because we're doing a lot of great things. We have business seminars. We're going to be all over. Yours truly, myself, I'll be speaking a lot different areas, and we're rolling out our Creating Wealth Domination Lunch and Learn. So we will be in a city near you, so look out for it. Visit us on visionarypeoplearise.com, and you'll be able to keep up with us there. All right, have a phenomenal week. I'll talk to you real soon, and stay connected.
Now you've been coached for success. Your chief visionary, Natasha Davis, wants you to be productive, be progressive, and be successful. Tune in next time for another edition of Coaching for Success. What's your question?